Hello, everyone. Good morning, or good afternoon, or whatever it is. How is everybody? Natalia, did you have a good holiday?
Hi, Vipin. Yes, I did indeed. It's been a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Christmas holidays were great, actually. Happy New Year to everyone.
I think we are going to wait a couple of minutes. I do not know whether we're going to get a big crowd here, but we'll see. Can you all see the screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I think we should start. The first order of business, of course, is the antitrust policy. We have to follow the antitrust policy, which, you know, according to to Hyperledger, because we are competitors, and obviously we cannot be colluding. That's one. Second is the Hyperledger code of conduct, which implies that which means that we treat each other with respect, even when we are disagreeing with each other. And that is the, you know, we are meant to read both of these policies found here, but you can look at these links to see more detail on both of those policies. First order of business is usually introductions. I think we should do it, even though most of us know each other. So let's start with Elena. So basically, Elena, we introduce each other. If we introduce ourselves to the group so that people know what you're working on and why you are in this group, and so that we can have intelligent conversations. If you do not want to introduce yourself, that's fine too, but you know, it would be good if we can start with Elena. I guess not.
Mic is turned off.
Mic is turned off?
Yeah, hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Oh, that's good, because I think something was wrong with my sound. Okay. So I didn't hear you either because starting the first minutes had some problems with the sound, but I take it you need some introduction from me, right? So
yeah.
I'm here for the first time I represent a company called Exact Pro. We specialize in software testing for financial market infrastructures. So we basically work with stock exchanges, clearinghouses, banks, securities, depositories, etc. We are pretty experienced with financial software built with traditional technologies, but starting from last year, we got engaged in a number of DLT-related projects, of course, from the software testing side. And those projects are either around trading platforms on crypto exchanges or around post-trade activities on the traditional financial instruments, but carried out on new technology platforms built with DLT. The majority of our post-trade projects are now on R3 Corda platform, but we know that a lot of our prospective clients are using Hyperledger, different projects within Hyperledger. So we are very interested to look into that space as well. Well, that's pretty much my story.
Yeah, great. Great to hear that you're here. And does the testing that you do result in some kind of an auditing or certification of financial infrastructure, or is it more to just make sure that the software works properly, or is it also got a regulatory element? Because I have heard of your company, it's pretty big. I think.
Yeah, we are currently 550 people. For quite some time, we were part of the London Stock Exchange Group. We were there from 2015 to 2018, and then our management has bought the company back, so we are now back to being an independent business. As for our activities around, as you said, certification, we do not issue any certificates to our activities, but we provide extensive reports. What we specialize on is automated testing. So when we are on the project, we provide all the tooling, all the automated test libraries, as well as activities and support around the software.
Do you have any open source involvement, or is it only
majority of our tools are open sourced now, so we are mostly commercializing our service rather than tools, so tools are open source.
So if I go to your website, I should be able to get an idea of what's happening.
Yes.
The other thing I would like to ask you is, in the crypto and crypto space, and as well as digital assets, mm-hmm. Custody or some other activities, post trade and so on, you said you're working with Corda. Are there any projects that are live, or is it all in the MVP sort of testing phase?
One of the projects is in its testing phase, and a couple of others are live, already live.
Okay, so any that are live that you can either share or let us know. Because we do have a use case project that we can actually enter some of these projects into, and then we can talk about the front to back, the software development life cycle, and obviously testing is an important part of that. So later on, but let's go through the introductions right now, and then next is money.
I'm Mani Pillai from SwapSrub. We are developing a sort of a D2C digital assets trading and
can barely hear you, Mani. I don't know whether it's just me or everybody else.
Is it clear now?
Clearer, definitely.
Okay. I'm Mani Pillai from SwapSrub. We are developing a DLT platform / blockchain, and the focus is all about two areas. One is on the digital asset space, providing lifecycle for digital assets between dealers and customers. And the other side of it is on the OTC derivative side, which is something that we'll be working with is the CDM working group in how to bring derivatives as well on the DLT platform.
And your product is based on, that particular product is focused on Corda, which is another area that you and Elena have in common.
Yes.
And later on, Mani will be talking about, some workshop that he has proposed. I will also be talking on that because, anyway, we'll go forward with the introductions. Next is Murali.
Yes. Hi, Vipin, and everybody else. Happy New Year. So I have, I'm working currently on CPM, Consumer Privacy Management, moved off from, capital markets a little bit, but still very interested in that. And applying, blockchain and other technologies to that. That's it. And I'm a maintainer at Hyperledger Fabric.
Hey, Murali is being modest here. He's probably one of the few guys who know Hyperledger Fabric inside and out. And I remember meeting with him the first ever Hyperledger meetup where we hooked together the front end at that time of DA's platform with the IBM blockchain, which eventually became Hyperledger Fabric.
Right.
And that was a long time ago in blockchain years.
We have come very far from there now, in the good direction.
The problem that I'm seeing is, there is a talk about the trough of disillusionment, and many projects seem to have stalled. I don't even want to bring up the State Street stuff, but, many have not evolved much, but there also are news of lots of interesting projects out there. And if Elena is correct, there are many that are in production with Corda. I also wanted to get some of the Corda guys here because they seem to be the ones concentrating on financial infrastructure. Go ahead, Murali.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I was saying that's spot on. There's the State Street itself, they're still deep into blockchain, so you shouldn't, don't read too much into that, please. Except that they want to approach it from a different angle, let me put it that way. Rather than
custody angle?
It is. They've always been interested in custody, and they've always been interested in, in bringing doing tokenization the right manner, and also bringing tokenization directly, not just for other assets, but also for cash as well, which is where their main challenge was. And they are still, as far as I know, they're still doing all that. But to your point, I think the direct application of technology such as Corda is also bearing a lot of fruits in many different areas, as far as I know. But on the other hand, places such as I think somewhere in South America, I forget the exact company. You may know all this also. They are actually applying fabric technology directly, very usefully, into doing capital work, capital markets work there. So very successfully as well. As far as I know, one of the few people who have applied that at that scale, to that area. So I won't write it off yet, but
no,
yeah.
No, I'm not writing it off. I mean, obviously I'm in the space.
Right.
But I'm saying that in the pathway to adoption is bumpy, which is normally the case. We had big shakeouts in very important technical initiatives, like, for example, the whole internet thing. 2001 was a big shakeout. Everybody, all the mini projects died. But what survived out of that storm was the ones that took over the world.
Correct. So, yeah.
So they, it doesn't mean that it's all dire news. I'm just saying that this is all natural part of progression.
Murali, can you? Where do you work now, and what's your focus?
So I am working in a company called Manetu, M-A-N-E-T-U. It's a startup, and we are into CPM, consumer privacy management, and hopefully I'll be able to share more in a few months. Right, it's fairly new startup. Like, it started up in November last year, and we are applying all kinds of technologies and bringing all kinds of thing to make life easy for big companies to move into the space quickly. And the word on the street is that they are forced to move into it very rapidly because of all the regulations. So
does this mean that this Manetu CPM will integrate with blockchain?
Allow me to answer that question in a few months, please.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's fine. That's a good question.
You're in the stealth mode.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you don't want to make any major announcements.
Right.
But I did look at your website, and it seems promising.
Right.
We had in the identity working group, we had some presentations about FATF travel rule and so on, which obviously has great impact on know your customer and on all of the, not FATF travel rule, sorry. FATF had rules about how to do proper KYC and remote KYC. In fact, we're going to have some presentations in the identity working group on remote identity proofing, because even in India, for example, they've allowed video-based identity proofing for financial matters. So this is very interesting, because usually the identity proofing is based on physical presence. You have to show up at the bank to get a bank account open. But if you're going to have remote proofing, what are the methods by which you can improve the quality of remote proofing? Anyway, these are important things even for us, because the capital markets infrastructure is highly reliant on that. One of the pieces that it's highly reliant on is that. the proofing of identity and also authentication based on various characteristics. Now we go to Natalia, and hopefully she'll tell us what she's been up to in the past couple of months and tell us more about what's going to happen, how we can improve and take our take the capital market SIG in a new direction?
You've asked too much, I think, Bipin. So from aside from for introduction to the ones that don't know me, I'm working in the debt capital markets origination, which is basically originating bonds for issuers across the different sectors, and I'm based in Spain, so mostly my focus is European. I like to say this, but I don't have a technical background. I have a business background, but I am indeed aware of all the importance of technology in the issue process. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can. From our side, there's been only, well, there's been a few now, a few issuances using blockchain in this case. The specifics of the issuances have been very, I don't think I can say you can extrapolate this yet, because, you know, the process is still very difficult and it's been basically a proof and for the rest of the world and for the media to say, hey, we are using this technology and we've issued a bond using blockchain. At the moment, I am in a working group internally at the bank where I work to see how we can implement this technology. So I believe I will be able to share with you more information in the upcoming months.
Beautiful. I mean, if any of this stuff is public, we would like to know about them and actually put them in the use case project.
Sure. I mean, basically, the issuances that I'm referring to is the bond issued by the World Bank that happened, I think it was 2 years ago. And then more recently here in Spain, Santander and BBVA, which are two of the largest banks here, have issued as well small bonds, like in the amount of 50 million. But you, unless you work in the, and unless you are in the working team, you have no clue of what's going on actually, because you only get the press release. What I can tell you is that these banks have worked with other fintech companies. They've partnered with these fintechs to do so. I know the name of these two fintechs, maybe you know them. One is Nibaura and the other is Origin. So basically the knowledge is, I cannot share anything because I don't know, but I believe I'm going to be in a position to share something once I'm in this project and I have more news.
Yeah. And you're allowed to share. Anyway, the reason why we go through the introductions is so that people are aware of the projects that everyone is working on, and it becomes very useful in a group like this. There are a couple of themes that have come through. One is the theme of tokenization. The other is, you know, tokenization including every aspect of it. And money talked about it. And I'm very interested in this topic as well. And so did Murali with reference to State Street, and Natalia, of course, for the issuance process. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm the host of this call. My name is Vipin Bharathan. I have a consulting business on the blockchain consulting and digital transformation. And I run these two groups. This one is capital markets focused. The other one is identity working group on Hyperledger. We have very interesting and important presentations on the Identity Working Group. And on this particular topic here in capital markets, we have about 7 projects that we have launched, but none of them are getting the traction they deserve because people are, even though they have volunteered, they are busy with their regular day job. It's very difficult to put time into free open source efforts unless you're getting paid to do that. So with that, I want to say something about the roadmap. I had prepared a slide, but I don't want to spend 20 minutes on it. The intros did give us a good insight into what people are working on and what people are concerned about. So a group like this is more for collaboration between people who would normally not collaborate or even hear of each other. Like, for example, I would never have heard of the names of Origin and fintechs like that, which are based in Spain, without Natalia's words on that subject. So that's one way we collaborate. Second is we have these projects that we have embarked on. One of them is going to yield some fruit, which is the token taxonomy framework or token taxonomy initiative, which has published something called a token taxonomy framework, which is attempting to standardize how tokens are defined, usually using a compositional architecture, and money suggested that we use the existing TTF, token taxonomy framework, to workshop a small use case for a token, a simple token, and then try to work it all the way to implementation. And the natural place for that implementation would be Hyperledger Besu, because it is based on Ethereum. And so Ethereum has already existing standards for tokens on the blockchain. But so we'll try to marry TTF with the ERC20 and other standards around tokens in a concrete workshop. I have already spoken to Marley about this, and Marley Gray, who's the head of the TTF Technical Steering Committee, and he presented here on TTF a pretty elaborate setup for the token taxonomy framework. But what I found was he had talked about a visual token designer, and I did not see that the visual token designer was ready for use by outsiders. In fact, Marley confirmed that that the token designer is not available to us, at least at this moment, because it's still incomplete. Obviously, there are other ways in which the tokens can be defined directly using JSON, which is a data format, and we can then use some of the tools that he has to test whether the definition is correct or not. And there are some other tools also available. But this is the main problem with most of the blockchain initiatives, that there is a lack of, the tool chain is very, in the preliminary stages, it does not integrate well end to end. So that is a big problem. And I believe we see that even with the token taxonomy framework. So it's going to be slightly more difficult to start this process. And I wanted Mani to say something about this because he was the one who proposed the workshop. So that is the first workshop. The second workshop we'll talk about it in a minute. But before that, I think Mani should say something about, if he wants to say something about the workshop and how it will integrate into an end-to-end solution.
I think Vipin, you covered pretty much most of the items. It is just that we thought as a group, it'd be worthwhile to apply standards. As I always believe, any blockchain project with standards have the legs to, you know, stay afloat for a longer period of time, or essentially commercially viable solution, rather than using any kind of proprietary, you know, structures, data structures, and implementation. So I thought this could be a good way for us all to explore. And the fact that Hyperledger Base2 is now incubated within Hyperledger projects, it's a good platform to define tokens, particularly ERC-20 tokens, based on, and then with the TTF standards, which is a TTF framework. But without any further inputs, I mean, you know, we have the framework, we have the formula, the recipe to define new tokens. But how does that eventually transform into, as you pointed out, as like a JSON data format? Without that format, if every vendor starts implementing TTF to whatever they think it's defined, then again, you're getting into a standard inconsistent issue. So that's why we thought that, you know, if there is some format out there that defines this token, so even a simpler token, then we could then apply that on a blockchain like a Base2 to explore how easy is it to incorporate, let's say, an ERC-20 token with the TTF cash. So that's all my thought process. You know, if others have ideas, more than welcome to discuss.
Yeah, I would like to hear comments about this. One of the things that Mani said was that the definition of the token and other areas about the issuance of the token and so on would be covered with the Base2 platform, but the further exchange, like for example trading or any kind of secondary market settlement, post-trade work and so on, can be done through Corda. So essentially what I'm hearing is the integration of these platforms, like for example Hyperledger Indy for doing identity work, Base2 for this particular work in terms of issuance, and then a framework like Corda, which is more geared towards
bilateral capital markets contract management.
Yes. So there, of course, there would be other standards that come into play, like CDM, that would define the contracts properly. And CDM is now only being used, supposedly, first definition is for derivatives. But swaps and derivatives, but they have, they want to expand their field of vision to include other securities.
Yeah, they do have now, because the past, I would say, 3 months, because of the equity swap work being done by Axony and based upon the other working group members, the security definition is now in place within CDM, as well as lifecycle events like execution, allocation, are already there. Those are all well defined. Separately, I am trying to get the Ether CDM and TTF, basically Enterprise Ethereum Alliance group members, to talk to each other so that the TTF definition would become or be referred to within CDM, and hence contracts now can now refer to data standards. ERC 20 for more for operations, but TTF is more for definition for those. So I'm trying to make that working group get together soon.
Oh, that's cool, because the TTF guys have invited me to be an observer on the platform for doing the custody work, but maybe even for this other stuff. So they have extended me a invitation to be an observer. So maybe I can participate in some of that work as well, since I'm not a direct member of, I'm an individual and independent, so I don't pay dues to the Ethereum Enterprise Alliance. And that's what attracts me most to Hyperledger, because the it's a completely open platform. Anybody can participate. It is not restricted to just the members. And some people may find that, you know, because it's free, people think, oh, it's kind of worthless, but that's not the case. I see that many discussions that happen in this particular group, meaning Hyperledger as a whole, and in various SIGs, especially the healthcare and the telecom SIG, are very detailed and technical, and also have a lot of collaboration with different parties. For example, we did have a performance and scale working group, but that has, the activities have come, have become very minimal because of many, many things. One of them being the lack of participation. But I'm sure that as the space grows in maturity, we are going to see much more activity there. And Elena, your the testing stuff is definitely something that is very, very important. And people don't even think about it. They have, you know, test coverage, you know, those kind of things. And in fact, I had written up something on the chaos engineering and the blockchain, which sort of started out something on that topic. Anyway, so we, you know, the second workshop that we were going to do was to do with custody. We already had a pretty elaborate discussion on custody. Money was there for that as well. And I don't know, Murali, whether you want to say something about custody, but any contributions to that custody workshop will be useful. We are just trying to define what the use case should have. And I will circulate a more material on that, because I just, you know, there are lots of guidances from, like, for example, SEC on digital asset custody. There was a news item from Switzerland saying that SIX, which is the Swiss Stock Exchange, has collaborated with a fintech. In fact, they launched a fintech and then they spun it off they are going to have both types of assets. That means they're going to have digital cash on the blockchain, and as well as issuance of equities on the blockchain, and then they are going to have some way of doing DVP, delivery versus payment on the blockchain. So this is definitely a serious effort because it involves the Swiss Stock Exchange, Swisscom, and various other parties in Switzerland. And the whole idea is to democratize equity to be micro equity. That means, you know, that you can participate in equity in investing with very little money. And I think this is one of the big problems that, you know, you got to be an accredited investor with a certain amount of capital in order to fruitfully participate in investment activities. So this is, this micro equity concept is to democratize the equity, you know, investment in equity. So I have all those links in the in partly in the custody stuff and also in the new in some of the pages that I'm constructing there. Anybody else has anything more to say about this or any view on what we should be working on? I would be glad to hear. Yes, Murali. We can't hear you if you're speaking because you've taken yourself off mute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear.
Sorry, I was just saying that I don't have anything right now, for example, but I would, I assume that if I go to custody workshop link, I allow the information there and I can start looking at it?
Yes, definitely. Okay. So so the, one of the most, before we even go to custody, right, the issuance and the trading side, you mentioned the lack of, you know, cash on the ledger,
right,
as one of the big impediments. So I was just talking about the six initiative where they put some cash on the ledger, Swiss francs, obviously some kind of a stable coin setup. But what is more interesting is going to be the all of the guys who are talking about putting, you know, all of the central bank, putting central bank digital currency, issuing central bank digital currency. And if that happens, then there may be some, what do you call it? Then it becomes possible for cash on the ledger and then also for DVP and other things. So I see that Ravi has joined. Do you have anything to add to that, Ravi, or anything?
I joined quite late. Maybe I would go along with the call, and if needed, I would jump in. Sorry, I'm just catching up.
Yeah. We are almost at the end of the session here because we were basically talking about the one about the roadmap for 2020 for the capital markets SIG. Then we talked about a couple of projects that we could start. One is the modeling of a token, digital asset on the TTI, token taxonomy framework, sorry, not TTI, TTF. And then using that definition to issue the tokens using ERC-20 or something like that into BESU, Hyperledger BESU, which is Ethereum variant. And then continuing that chain, that tool chain, into, let's say, Corda to follow the CDM standard. And so that's one aspect. The other was a custody workshop that we were going to work on with the TTF also. And we have a observer status, at least they gave it to me. I don't know whether they will extend it to someone else as well, but I will bring what I know about custody to them so that, you know, because they are mostly technologists. So I would assume that the people in this group, we can talk about custody in detail, you know, and then we can take some of that knowledge back into the TTF, TTI guys. Then we can create some artifacts there. And so in terms of the first project, we said that we will actually put it in Hyperledger Labs, the artifacts for a simple token that we issue, and then we will bring it all the way into BESU in terms of so that was the idea anyway. So
yeah, great. I think I'm looking at the agenda, and this satisfy quite a few questions or the area that I also wanted to get some insights on, custody being one of them. One quick pointer that is coming to my mind, Vipin, here is, you know, when we talk about tokens, given that we are also including security tokens being into capital market, I think off-chain compliance is certainly very, very important. Not all the compliance can be, you know, fulfilled being just at on-chain. So I believe if we have it somewhere covered within the given agenda, great. Otherwise, I was feeling, what is the balance where we can have some kind of an on-chain compliance versus the off-chain compliance? In which scenario, how do we go about it? What are some of the best practices? I think that could be a valuable discussion in case if we can brainstorm on that side.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is to make it easy for you to issue things like trace reporting, which are compliant artifacts, right? Trace reporting, that's one. Second is that, you know, their KYC has been done for the individuals or companies that are trading on the platform. If you have any other concrete off-chain compliance, you know, suggestions, or not only suggestions, but backed by law, you know, then we can try to get some of those questions answered.
Yeah, I think at the moment, my understanding was, you know, when we look at the compliances related to the securities, I think there are some of the compliance which, if we can keep it off chain, that helps in terms of scalability, the throughput of the solution. I think from that perspective, I also wanted to go further deeper into this. There are some basic understanding that I have on this particular topic, but I certainly wanted to even brainstorm with the people on this topic and see in case if we can further strengthen this. But yeah, that's just one piece of you know, query that I had or topic that I would like to bring, but otherwise the agenda looked great.
Yeah. I mean, the agenda is one thing, but, you know, the problem that we have is that we only meet once in every 2 weeks. And normally nothing gets done in between. And in order for us to achieve something concrete, we got to have either some kind of a working group, separate, you know, task force kind of thing. And then we come back and we report on the progress of that. So, and also we can collaborate on the wiki and on the email list and all that. So I'll try to send out more emails, but I want people to jump in and say things instead of just being passive consumers, because otherwise we will get nowhere. It'll be just me talking, you know, and it's kind of boring and worthless.
100%. I think the whole intention of the group is everybody sharing their understanding and then everybody get benefit of it.
Yeah. So hopefully we will have increased participation, and I'm looking for ways in which we can increase the asynchronous participation. That means not during the call itself, but in between calls.
I suggest maybe we can at least have an initial offline conversation. Whoever wants to participate, you can suggest a time, even later this week, to pick up the topic of the tokens and what I have in mind and what every client has in mind, and maybe even get some input from early on how do we take this forward. So at least we have some sort of framework into this whole tokenization.
So you're proposing a separate sort of call or offline conversation about...
I just come up with some, what do you want to achieve? You know, I threw in an idea, and then Ravi Kant has some ideas. Maybe we can get together something, and then from that we would develop a possible a scenario to, you know, further go in depth.
Yeah, that sounds good. Now, anybody else wants to say anything more about all this stuff, like Elena or Natalia? Great.
Sorry, I didn't manage. It's Natalia here. I didn't manage to unmute my phone. So basically, in my case, sometimes when in the conversations, if I'm not participating more, it's just because sometimes I don't understand, you know, the concept. So I feel like there's nothing I can add. In these cases, or especially in the latest topics, I'm learning from it, so that's why in my case I'm quiet.
Well, if you have stuff that doesn't that you don't understand, it's very good to stop us and ask questions. In fact, I would say there is nothing that no question should be considered uninformed, because it will also help the person who's presenting or talking think more clearly about what they are talking about, because the questions are very, very, very important. And that can be one way in which we can all participate, because otherwise, the understanding of the person who's talking can also be increased by people questioning them. That's what I sincerely believe, because sometimes we just toss out terms without completely understanding them or not that these things are very common, in technology presentations that people just talk about stuff without clearly explaining things. And I think the questions are very important. Looks like the next meeting, guys, for the next meeting, I hear Dano is on the call, or is he come to talk about Besu? I don't know.
I just woke up. I had a late night. I thought this was 10 o'clock Pacific, not 10 o'clock Eastern. Sorry.
It's okay. So we'll come back to you on this topic, Dano, because we will need your help for the Besu, you know, ERC-20 based or any other token standard based stuff to implement the TTI on Besu. So I had tried to get people on the from Besu on here today, but obviously I was a little too late in putting out the word on the Besu channel. But in the meantime, we will collaborate on this.
Yeah, right now, most of our people who would probably call into this are in an offsite in Brisbane, Australia. So right about now, they're asleep.
Yeah, and hopefully they're not suffering too much from the smoke and the fire. Anyway, yeah, this is a problem for us because of the slot that we have chosen, 10 a.m. A lot of people cannot participate. Anyway, it's been wonderful conversation. I'm going to try to make the minutes up as much as I remember them, and after listening to the audio, and then we can collaborate further, Dano, on how we should go about integrating the TTF into Besu. Thank you. Anything else? I guess. Yeah, go ahead. All right. I think that's it for now. The next call is probably the DCI. Guys, Sweta is here, so it must be DCI. All right, so I'm going to close, and hopefully you won't get knocked out, Sweta, because I have the host key, and so I'm going to just stop the share and get off.
Okay, yeah, should be good.
You might get knocked off. I'm sorry if that happens.
No problem.
All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Sorry, I misread the invite.